listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this episode of Wake Up Hollywood. We have a very, very special guest, blues sensation, guitarist, singer-songwriter, quite the singer, let me tell you, Mr. Larry McRae. How are you, Larry?
I'm good, Nikhil. How y'all doing tonight, bro?
Good to see you, man. What are you playing there? Is that a Les Paul? No, it's the FOs. That could be a Guild. I see a Bigsby pickup. Let's see, what is that? What blues is that your signature?
No, you can't see it.
No, it says blues something. I know it's a humbucker guitar.
Gibson Blues Hog.
Oh, Blues Hog. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Man, I love this thing, Nikhil.
I didn't know that. So what is it? The pickups?
It sounds like a badass telly.
I love that. That sounds great.
It's got a lot of tones. It's got 18 tones in it.
That's awesome.
It has a three-way variable. It has a three-way switch, and you got two pickups, and it's got a baritone, a six-way baritone on it.
Wow.
And it's got a pickup splitter.
That's crazy.
So it's got a lot of versatility. It's a bad little guitar, man.
Let's kick down the door. Why don't you play us something for our listeners?
hang on. Is that very bright? Hang on, quit it, baby. Just put you down for a little while. I ain't gonna quit you, baby. I'm gonna put you down for a little while. It's not that you ain't a good baby, but I can thank you like my style.
Man, I can hear you sing and play all day. I mean, you just got the thing, Larry. You just got the thing. It's the special sauce.
Oh, man, I'm just so happy, you know, to still be able to do what I'm doing. You know, I've been had a little bit of I don't really have any health issues, but I've been had some things, you know, when you do a lot of riding, as Lester told me, man, in 1980, he said, boy, he said that road would eat you up. Well, I didn't exactly know what he was talking about. You know, at 22 years old, but at 65 years old, I hear him talking loud and clear. You know, all the years in the vehicles and stuff, man, riding, getting here and not having proper time to get that, riding too many hours at one time. And you have to pay the piper sooner or later. So as soon as I get myself straightened out with that, I'll be back on. I feel great, man, other than that.
Well, you sound great, and that's all that matters. You know, it's like when you can sound like that, I think the music will set you free, and we'll be coming to see you play, man. Anytime, any city, that's the way it should be.
I really was happy to get a chance to know you and to get a chance to sit down with you, and I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know you were the singer that you are.
I can sing a little bit, but you know what?
Yeah, that was nice.
When I hear a cat like you, though, I'm like, oh, my God, I got a lot of work to do because you got a great voice, Larry, and you got some great guitar chops. It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. You know, but what it comes down to, I think, is that as long as you, within your style, put your best foot forward, whatever you love the most, whatever you do the best, as long as a person can come to that and come to a realization, then you can be the best you that you can be, but you just try not to limit yourself. You instead try to keep learning. You instead try to keep growing, you know?
Well, I took it as such a compliment, too, because you gave me that compliment in the car after we did our session. But I got to tell you, I can't wait for you to hear what we did for Sight and Sound, because your guitar solos are just insanely awesome. I mean, everything that you do is just so, you know, just magnificent. It really is. Just, you are a magnificent blues artist. You are a magnificent singer, songwriter, and guitar player. So it's a pleasure to know you, too. And I just really feel like I have a lot of respect for you, and I've been very lucky to know you the way I do now. It's been a really great experience.
Well, I appreciate it too, brother. And I'll leave it with this, is that you know, as long as you be true to who you are and to what you are and try to tell your truth, I think the people will hear you. They can hear sincerity in what you're trying to do. And I just hope that my truth comes through. You know, I don't try to be anything that I'm not, but I know that one thing, you know, God gave me a gift to hear the blues and to hear it in a way that, you know, comes from way before my time. You know, I don't claim to know everything or to, oh yeah, this is mine. And no, it's not mine. I just been lucky enough to be the one to drive the car for a while.
Well, let's talk about that first moment when you first heard the blues. What was that moment for you? That was your moment of zen to fall in love with the music and want to become a blues musician. What was that moment for you? Who was that artist? Do you remember?
Believe it or not, man, you know, I used to have nightmares when I was a little kid and I didn't know what would be wrong. I'm talking about when I was maybe about 4 or 5 years old. I would wake up out of the bed and I would be crying, and I would go to my mama's bed crying, and they would be trying to console me. What's wrong, baby? What's the matter? Are you hungry? Do you need this? Do you need that? And I didn't know what it was, but I believe that it's a such thing as a spirit, man. And I believe that the spirit of music was talking to me then, and I didn't know what it was, but it was something. Wow. And that same feeling, that same unpredictable, same drive, that same thing, what keep you awake at night sometimes is the same thing, what make you delve off into the world of music and really find a passion for it.
I love that. I love that. I mean, that really kind of like goes with the tradition of blues music and blues musicians too. It's like,
right.
It does speak to you and grab you in a way that it doesn't let go of you once it gets a hold of you, you know?
And so then beyond that, all right, you know, I used to get a chance to hear my sister play guitar. She was a guitar player, and my dad was a guitar player, harmonica. So, wow. You know, where I was raised, I come up in Arkansas. I was born in 60. So, you know, Arkansas was a very different place than what it is now, right. 65 years ago, you know, and I grew up with a lot of things that the kids today never get a chance to know. Well, at least I hope that they don't have to get a chance to know that kind of living, because, you know, we done been through that thing once, and I think that we have come a long way as a people and as a nation. I just hope that our leadership appreciates the sacrifices of all the generations before us and don't take us backwards, man. Take us to a worse place than what it is now. People need to learn to come together.
I totally agree, and we still have a long road to go. But yes, I know that you probably experience a lot more than a lot of younger generations are going to ever experience. Just because
I'm talking about if you some of your friends that you went to school with after the school integration. See, I remember when schools integrated, I was still in elementary school. I was in fourth grade in grade school when they,
We lost you for a second, Larry. You there? You there? Larry? We lost you, buddy. Sam, we may have to... All right, Larry, we got you back.
All right, man, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. The screen just went black, man.
That's okay. That's okay. Sometimes it's the internet connection. You don't know. It could be a number of things. You were saying something really important there. You were saying about how the spirit grabbed you, and you went through these things about schools being integrated, and that's when we lost you. So you said...
Right. Well, you know, the way it was back in them days, Nikhil. Okay, you when the integration happened, you make friends, of course. And so I made friends. I had white friends, good white friends in school. But if I saw them on the weekend at the grocery store, we couldn't talk. And so we would just look at each other. They would look at me, and I would look at them, and we acknowledged that we see each other. And then when we got back to school on Monday, I saw y'all at the store. Yeah, I saw y'all too, man. You know, and stuff like that. But, you know, if we had a talk to each other, made a conversation or something like that, it might have been a problem, you know?
Right. You know, the thing that's crazy is it just goes to show you that racism is taught and learned, and it's not something that is at the core of who we are. And I'm sorry.
No, it did not matter to us kids. It didn't matter a bit. Yeah.
So when did you fall in love with blues music? That must have been a moment for you to find some salvation.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, I began to say that after, you know, those type of things, you know, when I was very young that I remember seeing my sister play guitar at home. It would be some ladies that would come over. It would be some gospel ladies. They would come over and sing gospel with my sister. And then after she would do that, her blues band would come over. And that would be Michael Burks's father, Fred Burks Sr., and my sister. Then they had a guy named E.D. Mullins on keyboard and Bobby Joe Hendricks on our drums. And Clara had a thing, they call it Clara and the Rockets. And that's the first somebody, you know, so she was my first hero, my big sister was.
I was about to say, that must have been a moment you wish you could have recorded them, you know, like just those moments. Yes.
I wish so bad right now today that I had some of that music. And most of the people that she played with, of course, back in them days, are no longer here. You know, they're long gone, including her, you know.
You definitely carry that tradition in how you play, perform, and sing. Like, you definitely hear that those generations of soul and like, blues music, it just lives in you. So, you know, whether or not, like, you can play it on a CD or a vinyl, you play it every time you touch that guitar, because I can hear it. I mean, I think that's one thing that, you know, you hear in how you express the blues and sing the blues and play the blues. So I think as long as you keep playing the blues and singing the blues, you carry all of those people with you. That's like my philosophy on it.
Well, you know, I say it all the time. I never would have played a note if it hadn't been for her. And I tried to use her inflections and my reflections all the time when I get a chance to play. You know, that's a big part of who I am, you know. Right. And I just try to keep that with me at all times.
And what do you think made her start playing? Was it your dad?
My dad and my grandmother played too. My dad's mother played. So, you know, it just was, they said she picked it up when she was a little. I don't know how old Clara was. I think she was something around 10, 11 years old, you know, and started trying to learn the guitar. Started off on acoustic guitar.
Wow. That's awesome.
And when she ended up getting the electric guitar, of course, it was a lot easier for her because she had been playing acoustic. And she was ripping, man. You know, she started learning people like Albert Collins and stuff like that, you know. B.B. King, T-Bone Walker, that was all her stuff.
That's all the stuff I still listen to. I still, like find that soul in all of that music so much.
It's just as good today as it was back then. Just as good today.
Did you buy, like, 45s? Like, what were you listening on?
Yeah, I was listening to 45s. One of my favorite artists, my other favorite artist growing up, you know, because I had a wide variety of things that I liked. I really loved Junior Walker.
Oh, I love Junior Walker, yes.
I love Candy Staten.
Yep.
You know, and the thing I will make mention of, too, that I was lucky enough to meet Miss Staten about 2 years ago. I met Candy. And I got a chance to be on her record. So she got a new record out there right now. It's Miss Candy Staten. It's called Hang On In Now, Brother. God Is At The End Of Your Rope. And I'm part of the vocal on that with Miss Staten, and my hero.
That's
crazy. I told her when I met her that if it was any kind of way that I could possess the same kind of skills that she had, I would like to have been able to sing like her. I would have loved to have been the male version of Candy Staten.
That's awesome.
Oh, I think she was that awesome, man. I think she had that much emotion in her voice. I mean, she used to make me cry.
Well, what's funny is when I ran into Joe Bonamassa at Guitar Center, I told him about our session. I said, man, I just had Larry McRae on my session. He said, did you have him sing? He's like, man, that guy's got a voice. And I said, I did have him sing, and man, he does have a voice. And he said that. And you know what? It's a testament to, like, how people respect you and how people see you as a talented super force, because that's really what you are. I mean, really, honestly, Larry, there are a lot of artists that are in this format, but they just don't have the same level of soul, history, carrying that tradition. I mean, it's born in you. You know what I mean? And you hear it in your voice. So, and you hear it in your guitar playing.
Well, the way I look at it, Nikhil, is that, you know, I spent a whole career being an unknown and not having a voice in the music business at all. And if it took to this point to be heard, I guess so be it. I just really, really wish that I was young and had the same energy that I had 20 or 30 years ago, man. I really do regret that. But, you know, the Lord done blessed me. I ain't lost my voice yet.
Yep.
And I'm still hanging on, you know, with the guitar. I'm playing good. The guitar done changed a lot from when I started. You know, we was just talking about Joe Bonamassa. You know, players like Joe changed the game for what the people call blues today.
Right.
And, you know, it's been a lot of transitions in the music and the business, how it's carried on. But I've been able to somehow to still be here. And regardless to what, you know, how big, how small, how low, how high, whatever, I'm still here. And so that's the thing that I'm most thankful for, man.
Well, I'm thankful for it, too. And we're going to play something. What do you want to play us first?
We had loaded Good Die Young, right?
Yep.
Good Die Young is a song that's kind of speaking of our mortality and acknowledging that. And I wrote this song during the pandemic. So, you know, that's kind of where my head was at the time. It's kind of churchy, got a little church bounce to it, but it also has a good little humorous side to it.
Well, let's hear it. Here's Larry McRae with Good Die Young.
All right. Thank you.
baby, why am I still here? Oh, yeah. They say the good die young. Baby, why am I still here? Oh, Lord. Well, I'm not old, far from young. Too late to be remembered as one of the good ones. They say the good die young. Why am I still here? Hold on. I read it in the paper just the other day. Another young man done gone. He had a baby on the way. And I said, as my buddy forward, he said the good die young. This he said back what he heard. All right, they say the good die young. Tell me why am I still here?
I think I was on there. I was playing one of Joe's guitar.
So good. Sounded amazing.
Thank you, brother.
Just a great tone. I mean, you got that like BB King tone down.
You know what? That's one thing when you go and work with Joe, man, you're going to come out with one of the best sounds you ever had, man. And he really makes it sound good over there. And it's fun working with him and Josh.
Well, it's cool because you have two guitar wizards working with yourself, who is also a guitar wizard. Now, do you guys kind of like have like a little bit of a debate as to like what you want out of guitar tones, or do you kind of all have the same vision?
Well, it's kind of I think it's univision. You know, we all see the same thing. And if it's ever a discrepancy about too much gain or stuff like that, I don't sweat over that, you know. So I just, as long as we get something solid and something that's going to sound good on the tape, I'm glad, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's cool because it's like, I'd love to just sit in the room with the three of you and just listen how you guys talk about guitar tones, because I'm sure each of you wants a little bit. Like if I had a guitar amp and I had you all three come in with the same guitar and set up, it'd be really interesting. That would be such a cool experiment just to see what you all set it at, just to see what you get, and then reveal the answers. Like, okay, this is what you guys, this is what Joe did, this is what, you know, Josh did, this is what you did, Larry. Because I'm sure there'd be variants where it'd be a little bit different, maybe in more bass, less bass.
I bet.
You know what I mean? Like that, it's interesting because it's like I'm always changing, searching for what I want. I'm sure you are too. Do you find that guitars bring that out of you too? Like depending if you're playing humbuckers or single coil pickups, like tell me how that affects what you play and how you play.
Well, to me, the guitar itself kind of dictate where and how you EQ it. And so if you EQ the guitar and it's not hidden right in a certain frequency, you know which frequency to adjust. If it sounds too bright, if it sounds too thin, or too woofy, or right, whatever the case may be, you know, you really have to trust your ear and your personal taste. And I learned to always start with less. You start with less and then add what you want. That's a good way for me, because if you start with everything pegged already when you come on, you ain't got nowhere to go.
Right.
That's, you ain't got nowhere to go. Everything died out already.
That's a good little tidbit of wisdom, because it's like it's easy to have all the toys on at once, you know, yeah, like have the pedals, have the guitar, like all at 11 and just start with a tone like that, you know. So,
and what a lot of people don't know is that a pedal effect is an EQ itself. Yes. It has its own sound. That's an equalization, you know, that's a frequency that makes it sound like that, like whatever it is. So, you know, when you add something like that, you don't alter your EQ again, you know. So you have to take all that into mind when you're trying to find the right, you know, right tone for your guitar. So my philosophy is to get your best clean tone possible from an amplifier, and then that will tell you how much dirt you need, you know, how much tone or whatever else that you get. But you don't want to dirty up your sound, what you have with that. You just want to be able to have a good lead, solid sound in that when you're ready for it, you know, to take it over the top.
What I love too is like you and John Primer didn't use any pedals, but you only had a minimal amount of pedals. Like what you use, what, a Tube Screamer, I think, for your overdrive. What do you use for your overdrive?
I have, it's what you call a Klon. It's a Klon clone. It's a Klon clone. And then I have a Joe Bonamassa FET driver on my board also. So the Joe Fett pedal is a real, it's not real gainy, but it's got a real present low end EQ,
right,
mid range and high, the way they all come together. So I don't set the gain very high on Joe's pedal. I use it at about 9 o'clock, but then I bring the volume to about 3 o'clock. See, so I set them like that.
Yeah.
And then I just find a good tone on the clone. And what that Fed driver does, it picks it up and boosts it and make it burly. So if you find your good, it's compatible with a Tube Screamer. You get your Tube Screamer tone. And if you put that Fed driver on there with not a bunch of gain on it itself, but use the bass and the rest of the EQ to swell the tone, you'd be surprised at how much burlier it gets.
Is the Fed drive, is that named after the MOSFET? Like the, you know, the old school overdrive pedals? I have one of those.
I believe that it derives from the same technology.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Because it just gives enough body and boost in all the right places. Have you ever played a Duelist?
No.
Oh my God, Larry, you are gonna love this pedal. It is.
Who makes that one?
It's I've got it on my board. I'll send it to you. I gotta remember the name of the company. It's a black. Mine's black and silver. And on one side. And one side, it's a tube screamer. And then on the other side, it's a blues breaker.
Okay.
And you can have them on together. And it's just the most insane. So, like, sometimes I'll have the blues driver on. Sometimes I'll have the tube screamer on. But if the band's really killing, I'll put both of them on. And it's just, like, the most screaming tone. It's one of the coolest pedals. You will love it. Next time you come to L.A., I'm going to bring that pedal for you to mess with because you are going to love it. It's going to be one of your new favorites.
And not to be insane, but to spell it is D-U-E-L-E-S-S?
D-U-E-L-I-S-T. Dualist.
Oh, Dualist. Okay. Yes. Okay.
I'll look it up. You know, we're going to play another song of yours right now. I'll look up who the company is and I'll tell you. But what do you want to play us next? What song do you want to play us next?
How about Don't Put Your Dreams to Bed?
All right. Here's
Don't Put Your Dreams to Bed. And that was inspired, if you check the bass line out, I'm telling on myself now.
I love it.
But if you check out the bass line, it's kind of reminiscent of Leaving Trunk, that kind of thing. Well, I will stand to find my living, to pack my living clothes. You know, so that was inspired by Charge. I always loved the song Leaving Trump, and I wanted to cover it, but I wanted to come up with something of my own and not do it exactly like that, but to be inspired by the rhythm of it. And I hope I put it somewhere in the ballpark with that.
Well, let's hear it. Here's Don't Put Your Dreams to Bed by Larry McRae.
Yes, sir.
I'm not afraid to
just every song that you write is just unbelievable. It's just so good.
Oh, did you feel my you see my parallel with the with the leaving Trump, you know?
And yeah, you know, it's cool. It's like you can tell like a lot of it's like throwback, and then you're also modernizing what the sound is too, which is really cool.
That's where I'm trying to come from. You nailed it on the head, Nikhil.
Yep. Well, you know, and you have some heavy hitters. You've got Joe Bonamassa and Josh Smith. I know Joe Bonamassa is producing your new record, and mm-hmm. you have a single coming out in April. What's the date of the April single?
April 18th. April. At first, they told me March 16th. Now it's been put back to April 18th. And he said the reason why is that he didn't want it to get lost in the shuffle, because those are the times, March and April, is when you have a whole lot of releases. And he don't want to have to compete with, you know, your Kenny Wayne and Bobby Rush have a new project coming out. And I don't know who all else is releasing new records, but he's trying to do it at a time to not have so many other new things to compete against.
Well, that's part of it. It's the same thing with movies. You know, like when movies announce a release date, other studios, they start going, oh, no, we can't release our film then because that's when the Marvel movies
are. Right.
That totally makes sense. And it's like, you know what? People will find you, though, because the music is good and you have some heavy hitters around producing it. And you just are a blues phenomenon yourself. So people just need to hear it. What's the name of the record?
The record is going to be called Heartbreak City. And it's a real good, I think, a good rhythmic mixture. It's got the first single is going to be a song called Bye Bye Blues. And it's got the old kind of, let me see. Outside my window this morning, birds are singing their song. It took a long, long time to get back where that I belong. You come along when stealing was spent. You come along with some bounce in my step. When I said hello to you, I said goodbye to the blue.
Yeah, so good. That's a killer riff. Killer
when
riff.
When I said hello to you, I said bye bye blue. So, you know, it's like that. We have something really funky on there. We got one really funky tune. It's kind of like the Neville's, and it's called Everything Falls on Me.
That's and, why you gave me a couple over the phone, and they all sound so good, man.
Man, Everything Falls on Me is a funky tune, man. I have another one called Try to Be a Good Man. We also have Heartbreak City. We have Take a Walk on the Bright Side, which is all some of my favorites. We have another one called Stop Your Crying and Come Back Home. It's kind of like a Ray Charles-ish type ballad situation. I can kind of get, let me see if I can give you an example of that.
Well, real quick, Larry, we're running out of time real quick.
Okay, great.
A little bit of the last song. Where can people find you if they want to find you online?
Go to Larry McCrae Live for my live performances. And I think I have a Bandcamp site set up right there that has all of my music and recordings. Everything that I've ever did is on my Bandcamp. So if they're familiar with Bandcamp, go to Bandcamp and everything is right there.
All right. And March 18th is when April 18th is when the first single of Heartbreak City comes out.
The single is going to be coming down, and the name of the album is Heartbreak City. And I can't wait to get to the real blues fans. It's got something on there reminiscent of Bobby Bland, something a little bit like the Neville's, you know, that old doo-wop sound like that. We got a straight up shuffle with Kirk Fletcher on guitar as well. So, I mean, you know, it was a fun project, Nikhil.
Well, I have no doubt. And people are going to love it because we all love you and we love your music, Larry. We're going to play your last song out, your choice. What song do you want to play on the way out?
On the way out, give him Mr. Easy.
All right. All right. Here's a little bit of Mr. Easy. I want to thank Larry McCray for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. Larry, thank you for being a guest. You're always
such a friend. Thank y'all for having me on.
I love you too, man. And I can't wait for you to see Sight and Sound episode 7 featuring Larry McCray. He's gonna shred his ass off. Let me tell you.
I can't wait to see it. Thank you.
Here's Larry McCray. We'll see you guys next week. Here's Mr. Easy. Cheers.
But they don't call me easy long. They call me Mr. Easy, but they don't call me easy long.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.